All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? All right, so it looks like the approval for the minutes have been passed. I don't believe that we have any public comment. Oh, Michelin?
Thank you, Jay. If we can just do a quick roll call,
Oh, okay.
and thank you, and we do not have any public comment.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Glenn? So we're going to do roll call.
Oh, sorry.
Yep, no, sorry, that's okay.
Damon, present.
Duncan?
Present.
Matthews?
Present.
Lee? I think Virginia's walking to her car, and I don't know if she can. Virginia? We have to do roll call. You're on mute. Can you hear?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
So Lee, I just need you to say present.
Sorry, I heard I missed the roll call part. What did you say?
Oh, that's okay. You just need to say present, Virginia.
Present.
Thank you. Okay. And then Michaelin, do I need to go through everything again?
Yes, we should just for the record. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, so has everybody had the opportunity to review the minutes from June 5th? All right, can I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. A second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. All right, so the approval of the June 5th, 2025 minutes has been passed. There is no public comment. Are there any disclosures or recusals? All right, seeing none, we'll go on to new business. Adopting the updated elected and appointed official code of ethical conduct. Norm, is that you?
It's actually Chief of Staff Kapusta
Oh, okay.
Pofal is on
Oh,
the line.
me. Karen, do you want me to start off?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, yep. So this is the elected and appointed official code of conduct. There was one that was adopted January of 2023, and this is the code of conduct basically that we as BCC appointees are to follow, as well as the Common Council alders. And so this was brought before Common Council back in February, March, somewhere around there, with some edits that were provided by some alders. And during the review of it, I had asked if there was any conversations with the BCCs to get their feedback on the changes and also on the current code of conduct and the sexual harassment appendix that was added in July of 2024, just to see if there's any changes that need to be made, if there is maybe something that is not in the current code of conduct that should be in there. And so we, over the past 5 months, have been taking this to different BCCs to present and just have feedback. I know that this was supposed to be presented last meeting, but we didn't meet quorum. And so this comes back to the Common Council Executive Committee on September 16th to make a recommendation to the full body of the Common Council. And I don't know if everyone's had an opportunity to look at the code of conduct that is in Legistar for this matter. We don't have to go through the entire thing to give a little bit of feedback of how other committees and commissions that I've attended that have looked at this. It's really if there's questions that we can answer, Karen and I, or if you just want to provide feedback to Karen, or myself. If there's something that you would like to see added, or if you disagree with what the changes are going to be, and that's where we are right now. So before I go any further, I'll just open to see if there are any questions that anyone has about it.
Oh, Bob.
Well, first of all, I'm not a member of this commission. So I did register just a few minutes ago to speak on agenda item number two and number three. So that but I don't want to tread on your the commission's discussion here. But I did raise a few issues at the Equal Opportunities Commission, where I'm a commissioner, concerning the discord between the affirmative action ordinance and the equal opportunities ordinance. And the affirmative action ordinance has only, well, not only, but 10 protected classes, whereas the equal opportunities court ordinance has 30 or 31, depending on how you're counting. And when you look at the staff report or the document that we're reviewing to understand better the code of ethical conduct, there are three. Well, the first, there is a hyperlink that goes to the affirmative action ordinance, but there's a footnote that cites most of the equal opportunities ordinance protected classes. And three of the equal opportunities ordinance classes are missing. And then there are three in the footnote that don't appear in the MGO anywhere. And I can cite those for you if you're interested, but I guess the well, we should talk about this more for agenda item number three, but concerning this particular agenda item where we're looking at a code of ethical conduct and your commission want to review approval or referral or review it, period. I just wanted to point out those differences, and I did pass those differences on to Dr. Kapusta Pofal, and yeah, maybe she has more to say about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? So then, Alder Duncan, can I just ask, what is it that you're asking of the committee?
So I think for the action for the committee would be basically approving the current layout and makeup of the code of conduct that is being presented. I do know that to Bob's comments around the things that potentially need to be fixed. I do know that the chief of staff as well as common council staff are taking all of the information that has been brought from other commissions and committees, and that will be what is massaged and put into the conversation at CCEC. So I don't want to speak for the Common Council staff, but I do believe that we at least have those from the EEOC meeting. And I'm seeing a head shaking. So that's good there. So from us, if there are any changes that the commission would like to see, being able to present that with our recommendation to approve it, or if individuals need an opportunity to review and look over it, being able to get those comments and concerns or changes to the chief of staff before the 16th is when it's coming to CCEC.
Okay. And then, so I will ask for a motion to approve the current code of ethical conduct as it is.
Yes.
And okay.
Yep.
So I'm looking for a motion to approve the current code of ethical conduct as it is. Damon?
I guess I'm looking for a little bit more clarification on what's happening here. So they're looking to make sure that the protected classes match both the Equal Opportunities Commission and Affirmative Action Commission. That, because I see there was a, let me know if I'm missing something, there's just discrepancy on the amount of number on the classes that are protected. So we're looking to get a match on both from both departments or something, or both commissions.
Yeah, so it sounds as though that Bob brought those up in the EEOC commission meeting, that there needs to be a review of the sections that have both the EEOC protected class information as well as what the city has for the protected class to make sure those match up. The changes that are being presented from the current in place that was adopted in 2023 and then amended to include the sexual harassment appendix in 2024. Am I able to share my screen? And we can walk through the changes. Let me send a request to get it.
Go ahead, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can you all see my screen?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, I've got to hit share. Now can you see my screen?
Yes, thank you.
All right, so just to give a little bit of the background. So as I had said, in 2023, the current elected and appointed official code of conduct was adopted by Common Council. That is what we as commissioners are currently being held to in our duties and the way that we act in meetings and outside, just dealing with the public. In 2024, the sexual harassment appendix was added to that, and that also was adopted by Common Council. And so with the new changes that are going into place, that's the existing. The new additions have these clauses where individuals with a wide variety of backgrounds, personality, values, opinions, lived experiences, and goals participating in the democratic process in Madison, whether on council, on board, commissions, committees, or providing public comment at a council meeting. This is the expected language. This is all new, as well as it being recognizing council members and BCC members to serve in the public office and the obligations of the well-being for basically citizens and the residents of the city of Madison. And then just having cooperative efforts with the elected and appointed officials, making sure that there is respect among all of us, basically, is where the expected conduct language is. It is helpful as we go through this. In Legistar, there is the updated code of conduct that has the redlined, as I like to call it, but it's not redlined, document that has been edited. So that you can see what changes are being brought forward. Then there is the conduct towards city staff, just the things that are expected of us when we are working with city staff, as well as alders who are working with city staff. Let's give a chance for people to read that. And then we have the conduct towards members of the public. And then conduct towards the media. And then there is also new language around guidance on using the point of order piece. I don't think that, at least in this commission, we don't use point of order that much, but this is how point of order would be used, especially from the standpoint of common council meetings that we have. And then there is new language around conflict resolution. This could be between alders. It could be between BCC members. It could be between a BCC member and an alder. But how we would handle those conflicts. And then finally, this piece applies to alders just for the process for censoring an alder and how Common Council is able to handle that. And so one of the things that was brought forward in some of the other meetings is just what are some questions that the Common Council staff was looking at and hoping to get information about is just, you know, if there are any challenges that we as BCC members face, and if so, what potentially those challenges are, if there's any other topics potentially that we feel should be included in this policy, and then if there's just questions that we can answer regarding the existing policy. And so to the point of what we would be approving tonight as the commission, the AAC commission, is we would state yes that we are okay with this new language that is being added onto the current code of ethic, or we're not. Another option would be also if there's changes that we would like to potentially make to present that in that motion of we approve with these recommended changes. To show the CCEC as well as Common Council staff that this is our recommendation for them.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. So are there any other questions before I, okay. So I'm going to say it one more time. I think this is what's going to happen. So I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the current code of ethical conduct as it is.
I'll move that we approve these revisions to the code of conduct.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? So moved. So it looks like the adopting the updated elected and appointed official code of ethical conduct has been passed. Oh, Alder Duncan.
I just also wanted to add it, even after tonight, if you have, like I said, if you have a chance to read it and you want to provide additional feedback, please do so. This is the reason that I brought it forward to all of these commissions is to really make sure that the people that are being held responsible for following this agrees with it and thinks that it is something reasonable. So if after tonight you have questions or you want to send a message, please feel free to just so that we can add that to the additional information that we're getting from the commissions.
Thank you. And then Alder Duncan, should those questions go directly to you?
To me or Karen,
Okay.
if they come to me, I can forward them on to Karen, so it's fine.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. So it looks like the next order of business is a conversation on protected classes. Norm, is that you?
Sure, I can kick it off. Thank you, Chair. Good evening, everybody. Excuse me, good to see you. So this item, this conversation began in the Equal Opportunities Commission, I believe. Commissioner Kleba is here tonight to share his thoughts with the Affirmative Action Commission about protected classes, as they differ across the ordinances, the civil rights ordinances. What do I want to say? I think that this discussion, while we'll certainly take a look at what the protected classes are and where they apply. Ultimately, if this body wanted to, if there was a desire to better align the protected classes, this body's buy-in is essentially needed, I think, for that. Because the different commissions serve or are responsible for helping to administer different parts of the ordinance. And ultimately an alder or mayor sponsorship would be required to sort of move this forward officially. I'll turn it over to Commissioner Kleba to share with you his thoughts.
Thank you.
But yeah, and thank you, Norm, and thank you, commissioners. This started earlier this year when I was reviewing a contract that I have with the city, and I live on one of the five leased properties that the city owns. It just is a bizarre housing situation that I don't recommend to anybody. We were renewing our lease, and the contract language in the lease was interesting because there are several sections of the lease that differ in how they. How I am required to respect protected classes in my business. And they do not include all of the equal opportunities protected classes. And some of the and then the clauses in the lease differ in how they in what protected classes are actually required to be respected. So it's kind of a bizarre situation, and I dug deeper and I found that the MGO actually requires different language for different aspects of contracts. And They mostly adhere to affirmative action ordinance protected classes and only somewhat respect equal opportunities protected classes. So this was what made me think that I need to work on this and have some coherence, not only between the affirmative action ordinance and the equal opportunities ordinance, but elsewhere in contract language that the city requires of all its social services agencies, its streets, construction contractors, etc. But it also relates to how the city relates to the citizens of Madison. And I'll cite a couple examples. Number one is when you report an incident on the self-reporting website for the Madison Police Department, it asks you to specify your gender, and it provides two choices. And that is against Madison General Ordinance, because we allow for respect of all gender identities in the Equal Opportunities Ordinance, but the Madison Police Department does not. And part of that has to do with how Madison Police Department reports crimes to the federal government. And of course, the federal government is a totally different entity, and we're not even going there. But regardless, the police department could maintain a separate database and then translate it through a macro to its reporting requirements for the federal government. The other example is that, and you see this in the affirmative action division or department within the DCR, the social services agencies that the city contracts with are required to report on the demographics of the people who work for the social services agency and the people whom they serve. And this is a bit beyond the affirmative action ordinance, because the affirmative action ordinance is focused primarily on employees for the city and contractors for the city. But we're also talking about the demographics of the people that are served by these social services agencies that receive city funding. And what happens is that we don't get the granularity on gender identity, on sexual orientation, and other information that could provide greater information on intersectionality for people whom we need to serve in the city. And we don't know how many trans youth are homeless, for example, because we're not asking and we're not reporting that information, even though the Equal Opportunities Ordinance respects those classes. The affirmative action personnel or city staff are not requiring that reporting. And even though we have this huge database on the demographics of the people that are served through city funding that we could use to do more research on how better to serve our community, we don't get the granularity and we don't get the intersectionality. So it relates somewhat between the two ordinances, and they're not jiving. And it relates to the rest of the city not fully respecting the equal opportunities ordinance. So this is a conversation starter. I don't expect us to do anything tonight, but I do know that there are gaps in what information we can get, how we're serving our community, and that result from this disagreement between the two ordinances. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you, Bob. So seeing none, can we move on to the next agenda item, the 52K hearing update? So Tracy's not here.
I'm wondering if I can take a shot at it. So I know that we had the hearing earlier this year. So thank you to all of you that participated in that. I apologize. I don't know when the next round is going to happen, but we'll certainly inform you well ahead of time and ask for a subset of commissioners to serve on that appeals subcommittee. I haven't heard anything from Tracy in terms of either timeline or, you know, any special concerns with regard to contractors. So I think Tracy's trying to join us after, you know, following up an event that she was coming from. So maybe she can speak to that if she shows up in time.
Awesome. Thank you, Norm. All right. So moving on to, did anybody who was a part of the hearing want to have a conversation or discussion about it? Or would you guys like to wait till Tracy gets in?
I could just say a little bit. I don't think there's anything super eventful. It was a long one, though.
Was it?
I think it was like 3 hours, maybe. It was long. So it was like there was a lot of people or a lot of contractors present there. And some of them had a lot more to say than others. So there's a couple of cases that took quite a while. But I think other than that, it was fairly ordinary. Honestly, there's nothing in terms of the cases or facts or anything that was particularly novel. It was just a lengthy one.
Well, thanks everybody who was able to attend. All right, so next, AAC recruitment, Norm.
Yeah, so excited to have a different report this month. And that is, we did have two individuals that are interested in serving on the Affirmative Action Commission, referred to us. I think they applied through the city's portal. They were referred to us by the mayor's office. Tracy and I interviewed both of those individuals. And I can say that they were both very eager and enthusiastic about serving on the Affirmative Action Commission. And given their, you know, areas of focus, you know, their some of their personal passion, you know, we did recommend that the mayor recommend them to council for appointment. And so they have that I believe will be going forward at the next council meeting on September 16th. And if the timelines match up just right, that might allow them to attend in October. If not, it would be November. But yeah, we're very, very excited about that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions for Norm?
And I did also want to I did also want to thank Ryan for not only his length of service, but also being willing to stay on for a period of time. I think saving us from missing quorum. So thank you very much, Ryan. Really, just really appreciate your dedication over the years and even now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And item number six, the RPP, the Residency Preference Program.
Yeah, I can speak to that also. This has taken shape in terms of conversations that our office is having with the trades. When we, talked about this, potential for this program, the mayor was certainly interested, but she felt like it was important that there be a recognition of sort of a supply and demand, that as the trades are a key partner, that we're making a match between what the city is looking to accomplish with this program and what the trades could help us with. And so we've been having some conversations with the trades. There was some change in leadership, especially at the I think the Building Trades Council. And I think the position had been vacant for a while, so we're refreshing some of those connections with the trades, having some conversations. And I think that we each see how we could benefit from a program like this, but we just want to make sure that we're like I say, sort of matching up that supply and demand. So we're having some ongoing conversations. We have another meeting set for October, where we'll circle back with them. And hopefully, we'll have some more information not too long after that. But we do have things in place like our RAISE program database, and our relationship with our colleagues in the community services office, who run or sponsor a lot of the local workforce development programs in the city. And so I'm hopeful that we can sort of get that kind of last leg of the stool, get the trades buy-in, and then we'll be able to move forward with a recommendation on this program.
Awesome. Thank you. Open for discussion. Does it, Damon?
Real quick here, Norm. When you're meeting with the trades, you're meeting with the whole BTC council at their like their weekly or monthly meetings over there at the Labor Temple, or are they coming in to you?
Yeah, it's just a few folks in their leadership that are coming in to us. I think it's the plumbers and the is it the electrical? I think the electrical leadership and Tracy Griffith.
Okay, and what the, how do you think the feedback has been with this idea of RPP? What kind of vibe, I should say, do you think you're getting in these early discussions?
So I think anything that's going to prioritize local labor, the trades are, tend to support. So I think that's a plus. The city, however, in any policy that we put forth has to cover not only organizations that have collective bargaining agreements, but also open shops. It has to be fair for everybody. And so as you can imagine, the trades, they're what's the word can I use? They're They're very they've got a lot of zeal
Absolutely.
for the union. And so you know, we understand that, but we hope to be able to use that support that they have for local people and work with that so that it benefits everybody.
Okay, just a little. They're local because I sat on that committee on the other side. Their local definition could be a little different than our local definition on what the city is trying to look for. So just
Okay, that's good to know.
keep that in mind when they say local.
Good, good. Yeah, we had a really good discussion. You know, Hugh Wing from our community services office was also there, and you know, he was just emphasizing the need to get buy-in from the school system as well, because there's you know, quite a focus on you know, that secondary education, post-secondary education, and not as much focus on careers in the trades, and how important that is going to be, so that we are able to really build up our local workforce in the skilled trades.
All right. Any other discussion? Thank you, Norm.
Sure.
All right. So let's see. Item number seven, the equity analysis and landmark review.
I don't have an update on this one. I'll need to circle back with Tracy. I forget, you know, where this landed, but I remember having a conversation with Heather Bailey, from our planning team, who said, you know, she's still available to be a part of an equity analysis. And so I think it may be on us to coordinate that equity analysis and invite Heather and any members of the Affirmative Action Commission that might like to be a part of that. So I'll bring that back up with Tracy as well.
Okay, thank
I
you.
will say, you know, I kind of got a glimmer, well, I want to say a glimmer of hope, or you know, maybe an idea of, you know, what this could look like in Madison. My sister happens to be an architect, and she works out of Detroit. And her organization was selected to do some work to memorialize, you know, a local public figure of color, and so they did some work to, I think, you know, restore this individual's home from, you know. I think they've long passed, but you know, to restore the home, to build some public spaces around the home and some informational, I don't want to just say kiosks, but you know, some informational structures like around the home. And one of the things that she mentioned to me was, you know, that the mayor of Detroit, this was really a project that the mayor wanted, really wanted to see move forward. And so, you know, maybe if we're, you know, we can do this analysis, but also through this analysis, be thinking about, you know, our elected officials and, you know, how might they like to support something like this, you know, even early on, because you know that I think can help create some momentum and help, because you know we actually have a lot of places in Madison where our forerunners, either had either it's where they lived or they had significant points in their life. And I think it would be really, really nice to be able to memorialize those places in Madison. So
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments? All right, seeing none, item number 8, future agenda items for the commission. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add? Okay. All right, it looks like Alder Duncan, you're up.
Thank you, Chair. Just two things that I wanted to highlight. So the 2026 executive capital budget is now available. We will be having the finance committee briefings on the budget September 8th and September 9th, which those both will be virtual. So you're able to log on and watch those. The other thing is last night we had the East, far east, maybe far east and northeast, meet the Alders, and it looked like it went very well. It was the Alders from those areas, just an opportunity to get to meet and have conversations with the Alders who represent you. We are having another one coming up for the west side district, so it's District 1, my district. District 7, District 9, District 10, District 19, and District 20. That event is going to be on Wednesday, September 10th at Bell Phillips Memorial High School from 6 to 8 o'clock. There is a request to register in advance. I know that there's flyers out on the Madison Common Council like Facebook page, and I can also send it to you, Chair, so that you can send it out to the commissioners. But please feel free, even if maybe you don't you're not represented by one of them, still feel free to come out and just have conversations. I do think that these are a great opportunity to allow you to have the conversations and the opportunity just to talk with people that you might not normally get to have. I know that Common Council staff have pushed very hard since I joined in 2023 to make sure that we are out in the community and that we are able to hear the concerns and excitement from the citizens of Madison around the different issues that we were facing. So please try to come to it. I don't know if there's going to be one for downtown area yet, but my guess is there will be something in the works. So those are the two things that I had to update for.
Thank you. So I would like to say that I went to the event last night and I really appreciated it. I thought it was a beautiful event. It was at Madison College, and the different Alders spoke, talked about the updates in their districts, and it was just a good mixture of community and the Alders. And I liked having the access to the Alders in person, which was really nice. And I'm kind of sad that my Alder wasn't there.
No, no.
That's okay. District 6. And I wrote down the numbers. I'm like, all right, eventually it will come to fruition, but... So yes, so thank you. And also please to all the
yeah, I'll send that. Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, it was beautiful. So I would recommend that people go if they can. All right. Welcome, Tracy. It looks like we are now on your agenda item. So your report from the director of the Department of Civil Rights.
Well, I guess since I'm here,
I'm sorry, okay.
That's
okay.
Okay. Yeah, if I weren't here, Tracy could certainly do it on my behalf. But I guess since I'm here, I'll report on a few things. So one, I don't know if I've reported this before, but our department is moving. It's a good move. We're going to have, I think, almost double the square footage. So we'll be moving from the fifth floor of the City County Building to the first floor. So as soon as you walk in the front doors off of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, will be on the left-hand side. That move is happening in December sometime. But construction is underway. We just sort of did the chair inventory. So good news, everybody will be getting a new chair. So that's good. So yeah, there's a lot of positives there. We'll have enough room for all of us to meet in the office again. We've been growing, and so we don't really have a proper conference room or anything like that. We'll have a connected comfort room. And so that'll be a nice amenity, and lots of other things, lots of natural light and other pluses, and an open floor plan as well. So that's underway. Let's see, we're also, there's also some exciting program things happening. So next week, program that we co-created, co-founded, the Upstart program with the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation will be kicking off. I think it's either the 12th or the 13th cohort. I can't remember which one. But that one will be, 12th or 13th year. There's two cohorts a year. So we're almost up to, getting up to 30 cohorts. So very, very exciting. Some of the best business training that you can receive. And so that will be kicking off next week. And then I just this evening, I came from to this meeting from a tour that we had over at, I think it's called 109 West Wilson. It's a new development downtown. Dan Kennelly, who used to lead the Office of Business Resources at Madison, now works for a private development firm, and his firm developed this beautiful building. It's like 14 floors, all of the, most modern amenities. The tour was for individuals that have been involved with the ACRE program, the Associates in Commercial Real Estate. And so it was a really nice time to get to see some familiar faces and take a look at, not only take a look at, the property and everything the property has to offer, but, the folks that had been through the ACRE program, asked all kinds of really, really quality questions around, financing, investors, calculating rents, all of those things. And so what they have learned through the program and what they've learned, in just their own, personal endeavors is really sticky. And it's exciting for me to see part of our community that really hasn't had access to, commercial real estate development and that really that whole world. Now being very deeply engaged. My hat's off to Dan Kennelly. It was his idea to bring some of the ACRE folks through. But, it just also shows, we've got some strong partnerships in the city. Even once folks leave the city, they're still willing to give back or pay it forward, however you want to say it. So I thought that was really inspiring. Also in terms of our work, we will have before the council, I believe for introduction on the 16th, our newly updated and revised ADA transition plan, Americans with Disabilities Act transition plan, where and employees across the city inventoried every single city space, every single city facility, every single city program, to determine, you know, if it was compliant or if we needed to make improvements. And so I'm very, very proud of the work of, you know, folks on our team in our office and across the city that have contributed to that, and looking forward to having that, you know, reviewed by and adopted by the council. Let's see, other areas. So in terms of personnel, you might, I don't know if you know, but our Equal Opportunities Division Manager, Byron Bishop, is no longer with our department. And so just yesterday, we launched that recruitment. And so that job posting is currently out live. We're doing a far and wide broad recruitment, you know, tapping into some of our partnerships, like the Government Alliance on Race and Equity, IORA, the International Organization of or Association of Human Rights Organizations, and a number of our partners, so that we can, you know, seek out, you know, the best and brightest to fill that role. In the meantime, I'm very, very grateful to Adriana Peguero, who is an assistant city attorney. You all, I'm sure, know Adriana from some of the hearings, but she has agreed to step into that role on an interim basis. She knows the Equal Opportunities Ordinance very well and knows the process. And so I'm very grateful to her, and grateful to Mike Haas, the city attorney, for lending her, helping, you know, allowing her to do this for us in the interim. So that said, I will, I'll kind of pause there on, you know, department things. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Did you turn it over to me?
Not yet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll yield, as they say, and the chair may may choose to call on you.
Thank you, Norm. And congratulations on the move. That's exciting. And the new chairs. So awesome. All right, Tracy, you ready? Agenda item number 11.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry. It got really noisy where I am. I'm still over at the UW. I apologize for being late. I was tabling a public service fair at the UW tonight, but happy to see everyone on the call this evening. And we are moving along our affirmative action division. We just fully closed out our Aspire program. I shared with you a few meetings ago that the Aspire program had, we had 21 positions and we are, and 557 applicants. So it was a really good year. And at this particular fair, I just ran into one of our Aspire interns whose position has been extended through the month of September. So doing a fabulous job with our parks division and another in traffic engineering. So we're really pleased with the outcome of our Aspire program this year, and just got an opportunity to connect with a few students today who may be interns in 2026. Our TBE, our targeted business program, is moving forward. We have surpassed a number of years at this point. We have, and what I mean by that is we have certified, let me get my number here, I believe 21 businesses this year alone, and that does surpass where we would have been at this point in previous years. So our targeted business certification program continues to grow, And we're excited about that because that means we're giving opportunities to small businesses and women, minority-owned businesses that might not have had this opportunity if the certification program wasn't in place. So we're continuing to move forward with that. With our RAISE program, we have seen growth there as well. RAISE is the program where folks who do business with the city, they are asked to post their open positions on the city's on our citizen access website. And if an individual is referred by a community-based organization that they then, if they meet the minimum qualifications through that referral, then they are given an opportunity to interview for the position. So we are growing there. And we when Jesus, our contract compliance specialist, started, we had only had one referral in over a course of a number of years. And now we have multiple referrals, and opportunities are being presented to our local citizens to interview for these various positions. So, doing great work there. Our affirmative action plan portion of our division is still has a small backlog, but they are working diligently to bring that current. We have a number of public works projects in the works, as well as developer-led projects in the works. Met with CDD last week, as well as I'm forgetting. Oh, and we looked at our TIF projects last week, and a number of projects are in the works to start and be bidded on in the coming months. So, contractual wise, we are growing in that area. And again, our SBE program is still moving forward despite the controversy and hindrances that have come across our government. But the city of Madison has continued to move forward with our disadvantage, our DBE, our SBE, our programs, TBE programs as a whole. And so we're happy to report that. That is all I have for you right now. Does anyone have any questions, comments, or concerns? I will say we remain fully staffed at this time within our division. And we are here for you if you have any concerns. Thank you so much, Jasmine.
Thank you, Tracy. I just want to go back to agenda item number four about the 50K hearing update.
Oh,
Was there anything that
yes.
you wanted to add or discuss?
We did have a number of the last time we reported on the 50K hearing, we had a few businesses that went to that had a stay from debarment. Excuse me. Pardon me, I am fighting a cold slash sinuses. But since that hearing, we did have a few businesses that did not meet the stay, and so they have been debarred. And I believe our total of debarment is seven. I can take a quick look over to that screen to give you that final count. Okay.
Thank you.
One business in particular does continue to work with our compliance specialist to become current and to get an approvable plan. But the other businesses that were debarred are still debarred and will, unless they change their position, will continue to be debarred for the term of the 2 years unless they decide to come into compliance. I apologize. Where's my AA plan tracker? Okay, I could jump there. There we are. Here we go. Thank you for your patience. So, from this last affirmative action 50K hearing, I'm sorry, not affirmative action, but the 50K hearing, we have one, two, so five. We have five that are debarred. And so they will be debarred until July 8th of 2027. One company, Tesco Transportation Equipment Sales Corporation, they are working diligently to reverse their debarment to come into compliance. But outside of them, we have a total of five new ones. So then four new ones that are not making any efforts towards their debarment. We do still have others. There may be another hearing. I'm thinking mid-fall, so like October, possibly November, we will need to have another hearing. We're looking for our compliance specialist to bring the backlog current so that we can then focus back on addressing agencies or companies that are not in compliance. Questions? All right.
Thank
Jasmine,
you. Thank you, Chip.
thank you again.
Absolutely. All right. So it looks like we've come to the end of the agenda, and I would like to ask for a motion to adjourn. Second.
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay. Thank
Second.
you. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next month.
Bye,
Thank
Ren.
you.